Hey guys, Melissa here. I blog at our family website, www.thecorkums.com, which we affectionately call the Corkboard. This is the Uncorked Podcast. If I had to choose a descriptor for our family, it would be outside the box. Whether it's adopting three unrelated adolescents out of birth order, or trying to run a coffee shop in our quote-unquote spare time right after adopting, we love adventure. We had to give up that coffee shop, and our three oldest kids are launched for now. But with lots of extended family living at home and a full-time wellness business, there still aren't many dull moments. We've met so many amazing people with fascinating stories along our journey. I'd love to introduce them to you. Welcome to episode 14 of the Uncorked Podcast. It's the last show before Christmas, and I feel like I only have room for fun and nonsense right now. So I'm bringing you the most recent conversation my BFF Trisha and I recorded. By the way, if you haven't listened to episode 7, where I introduced you all to Trish and our relationship, you should probably stop right now and listen to that. It's kind of the ticket to fully appreciating all the inside jokes and random comments in this episode. The type A in me usually likes to release shows in the order that they were recorded, but we chatted about too many things that just won't be as much fun to hear in January, like her life hack about what she fills her kids' stockings with. Which, by the way, chalk that up to another thing I'm so not doing. We talk a lot about the things we're not doing, which I hope is fun and freeing for everyone. We also tackle public school versus homeschool and how our friendship might end over massages and Kix cereal. So here's my late night, slightly incoherent conversation with Trisha. Hey Trish, welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
We're recording at 11 o'clock at night.
Not 11 o'clock in the morning.
No.
It's the PM.
So let's just talk about we're also different here. I am a morning person.
Okay, but we always used to stay up late.
Always.
We did.
Always word. But
even as adults, we used to stay up late.
I know, but you're the only mom I know who operates at this time of night. Like, you're the only person where I'm like, hey, we haven't seen each other for a while. Like, what's your calendar look like? And all of the times that you give me are post 9:30 p.m.
Well, it's either that or before my kids wake up, which means that I would just not go to bed.
So, yeah. So, I mean, that doesn't happen, like, anywhere else in my life with anyone else. This 11 o'clock hour. I don't even see my husband at this time of night. Yeah.
Matt and I are both millennials.
I know, which works really well for you. So
it does.
Like,
it's very convenient. Except in the morning.
True story. Yeah. I mean, I get texts sometimes at like 10:30 and you guys are like, hey, we're ordering Korean. You want to come over?
I mean, I feel like I should let you know when we're ordering Korean. That is an exciting text to get.
It is really.
Any time of day or night.
No, not at 10:30 because
we're
then I'm
ordering
like,
Korean.
Damn it, I want Korean food. But do I really want to go out at 10:30 at night? Because you live a half an hour away.
The answer is yes. Or longer if you get lost.
So we Facebooked that we were going to be podcasting and asked what we should talk about. And someone did specifically ask, and I quote, is it more responsible to go to bed at a decent hour so you can wake up on time or stay up late working on other responsibilities? And so the irony of that is that was posted at like 10 o'clock tonight, and we were just thinking
about starting in the car on the way here in the dark. It's so dark.
We were just thinking about starting the podcast. So clearly that's what we think about that. But really, I really am a morning person. Like, I have meetings for my business at like 6 a.m.
I hate the morning.
So do your kids get up by themselves yet?
Lily and Noah do. And Caroline just comes. That's why I'm still nursing Caroline. Because when she wakes up, she comes into our bed, and then I can get another half hour sleep.
It's like when we used to have sleep in Saturdays at our house.
That's a fun little alliteration.
Yeah. You've never heard about sleep in Saturdays?
I mean, I have them, if that's what you mean.
No.
Is that when you give the kids their own Netflix account? Because I've already done that.
Well, I mean, you're like a whole decade behind us. So when our kids needed sleep in Saturdays, Netflix like wasn't a thing. But it was like, turn on the TV and watch cartoons.
Did you have to put the VHS in the rewind machine?
Rewind machines.
Right.
Yeah. Something like that.
Okay.
But yeah. But it was basically like free reign on the television. It wasn't even screen time back then. We didn't even have devices. It was like free reign, watching cartoons, and eat as many granola bars as you need to.
Until, I leave the Kix on the counter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until mom and dad get out of bed.
And they can reach the raisins.
Yeah.
That's, so that was... That's healthy, right?
That's good.
Kicks and raisins?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, eventually when I get up, I make them eggs.
Yeah, it all balances out.
Yeah, it's fine.
In the end. So, did you just steal my phone?
I'm not a morning person. But I am a night owl. I just had a cup of coffee.
And we have uncorked Blue Moon Harvest Pumpkin Wheat. You have. I can't drink it this late at night or I will literally fall asleep while I'm podcasting with
Technically,
you.
Technically, Mia did.
Is that illegal? I don't know. It's in our house. It's probably fine.
Okay. it's anyway. Delicious.
So we were talking about what we should be talking about. And so some people said education.
Mm-hmm. Public school specifically.
Specifically.
Allie Sane. Hey, Allie. Specifically said public school versus homeschool, which, wow, that's a can of all kinds of different worms.
Yeah. So your kids go to public school.
My kid. I mean, she's the only one that's school age. Noah still goes to preschool, which we don't have public pre-K, so.
But he will go to public school.
He will go to public
school. And you're like a public school person.
We moved to our house, so we could go to public school.
Yeah. And I identify as a homeschooling parent. But that being said, we have logged many years not as homeschoolers. So, I mean, PJ spent 3 years in private – 5 years in private school. Mia spent 3 years in private school.
Well, now he's in public school, right?
And now he's in public school. And both the older girls put time in at public school. Mm-hmm. So I wonder what she wants us to talk about.
I don't know, but I – this is from an outsider's perspective, but just from me who knows you, I feel like I can't imagine you would have an experience with anyone else teaching your kids that you would think was doing a better job than you teaching your kids because you're so efficient and conscientious and aware of, I don't know, their educational needs and their progress specifically and all kinds of different skills, and you're just so comprehensive about your homeschooling that I could imagine that there would be frustration in people not doing exactly individually tailored curriculum for each of your kids, which is impossible in public school, right? Or any classroom setting.
That was a really, really sweet way to call me a control freak. Yes!
It was a compliment. I'm saying that you're the best educator I know for your kids because you take such detail into account when you're educating them. I watch it. I mean, I see it and I hear it and it's amazing. And so I know for sure I'm not an educator, disclaimer, of anyone or anything, but I know that no one can do a job as you can.
Okay. You are one of the most educational parents that I know. Like, your kids know
how to log on to Netflix.
On Saturday mornings.
On all mornings.
No, your kids know, like, more than even my kids know by the time they're, like, three. You do a lot of education.
Whatever. PJ was doing calculus at three.
PJ doesn't count.
His brain is so huge. Remember how big his head was? Is it still?
I don't know. I just remember birthing. I think
not get into that.
I think it is. He can't, like, share hats with anyone in the house. He has the biggest hat size of everyone in our house, period. End of story.
So that's good.
But appreciate your compliments on my homeschooling. But clearly you haven't been living in my house for the past, I don't know, like 5 years. So, but all of those detail things and stuff, yeah, in my head, it sounds good. But homeschooling is, let's just say that I recently wrote a blog post about what I'm not doing. In fact, I think it's going to be a monthly installment because I found out that it's really cathartic and that people really relate to it because there's nothing better than, like, pushing back against the social media posts and the Instagrams and all the beautiful things than to just, like, come out and be like, I'm not X, Y, or Z.
Oh, like that time earlier today when you were like, what should we talk about? And I was like, how about all the ways I'm failing at life?
What? It was so apropos.
I was mostly kidding, but that's what's been on my mind this holiday season. I'm like, I've taken on too much. I can't say no. And I'm failing at everything.
Right. So it's really, really cathartic to just admit it to everyone and, like, just make it public. And then, because then you realize that
sounds scary to
you're
me.
Not failing in the sense that, like, relative to everyone else, you're really not failing because we're all failing.
I didn't realize my cat was missing for 4 days.
So, by the way, if you live anywhere in the area, this is like
airing. Well, hopefully in when January. This airs that he won't still be missing.
Yeah. It's going to be, yeah.
We'll be able to laugh because he'll be home, right?
Right. So you didn't know your cat was missing. Tell the story about how you figured out he was missing longer than you knew.
Well, because we were sitting around the table and Lily's like, where's Benny? And we're like, I don't know, where is Benny? When's the last time you saw Benny? I don't know. When's the last time you saw Benny? And we're like, oh, shucks. So we posted on social media. We're like, hey, our cat Benny's missing. Has anyone seen him? This is on Friday. Someone's like, yeah, I saw him on Monday. So
what you're not doing is taking care of your pets.
Apparently. I mean, we had another cat. I was still feeding her and doing her litter. And we have a dog.
So what have you overcommitted to this holiday season?
I really like to make bows, and I really like it, and I think that's why I overcommitted to it, because I really like doing it, and it's like my escape.
She makes the most wonderful, beautiful, gorgeous hair bows. And, high-quality hair bows.
I have a degree in chemistry, and I fold ribbon. So, but it is. It's a creative outlet, and I use a hot glue gun so my kids can't be around. Like, it's, you know. And so I committed
to top secret operation. It is. With a hot glue gun.
I know. I have to lock the door. Sorry, don't come in.
Is it dangerous? Mommy's got a hot glue gun.
Danger. Go ask Daddy. I can't help you. So I think maybe it's not that I overcommitted. Maybe I just didn't prepare enough, but I've just had a lot of late nights, like making more bows for the events that I'm doing to make sure that my inventory is there. And then
you can't complain about late nights.
I know. No, like really late, like 4:30 late nights.
Oh, that's not late. And then when that's like early mornings.
Right. No. Yeah. When my kids get up at 7, like that, that's a, like, no wonder I didn't realize Benny was missing.
Because the door's locked.
And the craft fair, which is awesome, and I had someone helping me. I mean, I always have a lot of people helping me, but I had specifically a co-chair, Sonia, this year, who was amazing. But I think I need to figure out how to delegate more, maybe.
And you're in a play again.
So yeah. You're
in a play.
Right. That took up a lot of time. I don't think that was expecting that, because I did all the same things I did last year, where I did the firehouse dinner, lunch, dinner thing. So our neighborhood is freaking amazing. By the way, shout out to Knollwood. Last year we did for the first time, provided a Thanksgiving meal to the firefighters at Towson Station Number 1. And, you know, I posted the sign-up genius on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So 4 days, you know, it's just a couple of things.
Because you like to plan ahead.
Turkey and, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm very organized. And the whole sign-up genius was filled up in like an hour. And people were like, you know, texting me for more. And this year, too, we delivered an amazing meal, like full of all the trimmings. Like someone donated a turkey. Thanks, Megan. People donated all kinds of food. I didn't have to buy a thing. I literally bought nothing. And the pans and the Tupperware we had to use to, like, get it there. And, you know, a couple of friends came over on Wednesday night and we cooked everything. I butchered a turkey, which was interesting.
Butchered, like it was live?
No, I didn't kill a turkey.
Isn't that what they call it when you have a live turkey and you kill it? You butcher it?
I guess so.
You carve
it? I did not murder a turkey. No, I didn't carve it because that's after it's cooked. So it was a raw turkey, and then I, like,
butterfly it or something?
Cut it into pieces. So I had, like, the, you know, the leg quarters, and then the breasts, and then the wings. And
yeah, I guess that's butchering.
That's butchering, right?
So what do you call it when you kill it?
Killing it?
No, I feel like there's, like, a farm term.
Dispatching it? I don't know, but
slaughtering?
Slaughtering. So we did YouTube tutorials on how to butcher a turkey, and most of them started with, first, remove the head and the feathers. And so, I mean, yeah, apparently it's a thing.
So you fed an entire firehouse Thanksgiving while...
Two shifts. And then I had 23 people in my house for Thanksgiving dinner that night.
And then that weekend, and then that weekend, closing weekend for your show.
We had two shows, plus a cast party on Saturday night, and then strike on Sunday.
And then you're already back...
And then,
rehearsing again.
Right. And then I had the Stoneleigh Craft Fair the next weekend, and then St. Pius the next weekend. And then now we're rehearsing for Shrek. It's going to be so fun. It's going to be great.
Except you don't have a life. Or your kids are eating kicks and raisins.
No, I made sheep pan chicken before I left. So it was like roasty chicken with sweet potatoes and kale and whole garlic cloves. Those are the best part.
So what are you not? So you're still cooking. So you're still already doing more than I'm doing for my people, because I don't cook for my people.
Yeah, but your people are old enough to like forage for themselves. If I didn't cook for my people, they would eat whatever's at the bottom of the pantry because they can't reach anything else.
I'm not sure that my people are doing much better, even though they're older. I mean,
someone opened corn.
Yeah, there's a random open can of corn.
So they're eating whole grains, at least.
So my 14-year-old son, I'm pretty sure, eats chocolate chip, frozen chocolate chip waffles for breakfast in the morning.
Those are delicious.
Coffee and a whole lot. And he has some coffee with his cream and sugar. And then he comes home and he eats a bowl of ice cream. And then he, drinks a gallon of milk. I think that's pretty much what he eats every day.
Have you tested him for pregnancy?
Negative.
That sounds like my ideal diet when I was pregnant.
After you stopped puking.
No, even when I was still puking. Because when you puke up a milkshake, it tastes the same.
Ew! For real?
Yep.
I am one of those people that doesn't puke. I'd rather die. So I haven't... I don't know what it tastes like to puke up anything. I can't be like, oh, it tastes better to puke up a milkshake over chicken noodle soup.
Because it tastes terrible to puke up chicken noodle soup.
I literally would rather cut my right hand off than puke. I will, lay in bed as still as I can. I will, sniff ginger. I will,
that didn't work.
Drink. I will do everything in my power to not throw up.
Yeah, I was throwing up 15 or 20 times a day.
That's unhealthy. Okay, so we're not... So you're cooking, I'm not.
Well, my family would perish. No, they wouldn't, because Matt's amazing. He would just do it, but he also...
Someone would come by and drop off food.
He also... someone, yeah.
I'm clearly not cleaning.
Matt cooked tortellini last night.
My kids can do that, too.
Yeah. Then I came and added peas and goat cheese because, remember how we were talking about control freaks?
You're like a food control freak. Totally. I'm not a food control freak.
Absolutely, I am. That's why when everyone was like, do you know how cooking the firehouse meal? I was like, no, I'll do it.
I'll cook two meals for 40 people. It's fine. Problem.
It's fine. It was 60 people.
So why aren't you a control freak about education? You seem like you would be.
I feel like that... At home, in the time that I have with my kids, especially since I'm home with them, that there's so much that I do control that it's, well, first of all, no one would survive if all my kids were home with me all day long.
That age is tough. My kids weren't home with me all day long
from
at that
age.
They were in school.
No one would survive. It would be like those apocalypse movies where it's just rubble. Mm-hmm. That's what it would be. And then also, we moved to the school district that we're in for very specific reasons. I mean, for the elementary school, the middle school, and the high school that we live in. That's why we paid so much more for our smaller house. Our smaller, older house that needs work all the time was so that's kind of, that's where the control comes in, I guess.
So you controlled where they're going.
Right. And then just trusted beyond that. But... As far as their education, the education that happens at home, I feel like, at least for Lily, and I know it'll be different for Noah, but at least for Lily, school is a social event.
That's totally how it is for PJ.
Right. For her. School is a social event, and she learns, and she gets her work done, and she does her homework at home, but that's why she goes to school.
It's why PJ goes to school. He's not there for anything else.
Right.
Clearly, by the grade reports.
Hopefully, I hope that someday she will be. And I think she's enough of a people pleaser that she will just continue to
No, he's actually doing really well, in the classes that he enjoys and not so well. So, basically, he's going to need to go to, a tech college, not a liberal arts school. is really what we're learning.
He's not going to major in philosophy.
He actually, that would be a better shot than some of the other things. He's a deep thinker. Mm. And he likes to debate those kinds of things. So, but yeah, but probably not English, let's say.
For example.
For example. Like, I mean, if I were just to guess.
For instance, is he going to become a docent in a museum?
I'm pretty sure that won't happen. Although, we did not leave him. We lost him in a museum once because...
For 4 days? No. Still not as bad as me. Not, all right, keep going.
Because he was reading all the plaques and we were moving faster than him and he got left behind.
Oh, he and my dad should hook up.
Yeah. I mean, that was a long time ago. I don't know that he would still do that as his teenager self, but it did happen.
That's impressive.
Yeah, more impressive that he knew how to ask a stranger for a cell phone to call me and ask where I was. Oh my God. It kind of went like this. My phone's ringing. I don't recognize the number. Hello, this is Melissa. Mom? Wait, who are you? Wait, you're not with us? What? Shoot, where are you? Yeah, you left me at the display with all four sides. I read all four sides. You only apparently read one and then left. And I'm still here.
Well, at least you found him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good.
That's good. It's good for the parenting record.
Well, at least you didn't realize it 4 days later and then put flyers up in your neighborhood.
Generally frowned upon.
Generally.
I did have to get a phone call once from a friend at church, though.
Wow, church is crowded.
It's yeah.
Confusing.
She said, are you missing a kid? Turned around. Counted. Ah!
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, at least he was with God.
It was Mia.
Oh. Poor Mia.
I know. So, okay, so I'm not cleaning. I actually started an Instagram profile for what I'm not doing, and I posted pictures of my hairballs on my floor. I don't even have pets.
I was going to say, I have lots of hairballs I could add to your Instagram account if I was on the Instagram. But I guess I have less now that Benny's not there.
I really hope that when I intro this and when it's like closer to being live, I can say, and we found Benny.
And don't worry, we found Benny and he's safe at home eating tuna fish out of a can. No, I don't clean either. I hate cleaning. I literally hate it.
Me too. We're really alike in that way.
I hate it. Like, I like when it's clean. Like, I know people, like, really love when it's clean, and so, like, they clean it, and then they really love when it's clean. I like when it's clean, but it is
just not worth it. The process. No.
No.
Never.
It's not.
But I, on the same token, like, I don't walk into your house and be like, and feel... like, oh, gosh, she should really clean.
Well, thanks.
Maybe because I live in my house.
You but... either. No, I don't. I mean, it's not like, it's not dirty.
Well.
It's not dirty.
We have brown oriental carpets on purpose.
You mean Asian carpets?
Nope. I mean oriental ones.
Nope. Yeah, I don't clean. That's not different for this holiday season. I never clean.
Yeah.
I hate to clean.
We're not putting a Christmas tree up this year.
Really? I noticed that there was no Christmas tree, but I just assumed you hadn't gotten it yet.
Well, if we were going to get it, we wouldn't have it by now. So we're recording on December 11th or something like that. Maybe it's the 12th because it's really late. So the Christmas tree cutting day will be December 16th.
Okay.
But we're not getting one.
Wait, are you cutting one down and not bringing it home?
Well... my parents want one. They still get a full-size tree for their apartment.
Oh, okay. So you have a tree in your house.
It's yeah, but just... we won't decorate it. They'll decorate it. They still have all their ornaments.
That's
their
the things. Worst part anyway. No, the worst part is I'm decorating it.
Yeah, and then dragging it out of your house and then cleaning up all the needles afterwards.
Don't even get me started. Matt and I had a knockdown, drag-out fight about...
Well, tell me more.
About having a real tree versus a fake tree.
You had a fake tree growing up.
Yes.
Which is... see, and the thing is, for me, it's like, I hate the whole rigmarole of the real tree now that it's my responsibility and I have to clean up after it. Mm-hmm. But I grew up with a real tree, and so I also don't believe in fake trees. So it's like a real tree or nothing. Oh my
God. Yes, Matt grew up, and it's very cute and Hallmark, like, Lifetime original movie-y, like, you know, traipsing out to the middle of the woods and with the saw and like chopping down a perfectly live living thing and dragging it through the mud and then lashing it to your car. No, first you have to shake all the birds out of it. You know that thing that like,
yes.
Right?
You have to shake it and bail it.
Right. And then, yeah, and then you wrap it up in the, you know, in a fishnet and then lash it to the top of your car. Hope it doesn't fall off on your way home. You have to drive home with the windows open because the ropes are coming through the windows.
Y'all are amateurs. It should, first of all, you should never be worried that it's going to fall off. And second, you should have a way to latch it to your car that doesn't require the windows being down. Or you can at least roll them up into the string.
Well, I'm being overdramatic. Will you please go with me? Okay, just go with
it.
All
right. Keep telling your
story. Just indulge me here. And then drag it through the house and open it up. And then you gotta trim the bottom branches and set it in the water. And then it starts dying immediately. So you wrap electrical cords around it and turn them on for a month. And hope
smells so good.
Hope your house doesn't explode.
Is so.
You mean all the needles on the floor?
I mean, that's like weeks later.
Or the sap? No, it's immediately. Immediately.
I mean, like the initial setting up, but then once you've. I don't know.
Well, sure. If you don't have kids and pets who touch it every day.
Yeah, put a gate up around that or something. I guess it probably destroys the ambiance.
Tell me more about that ambiance.
Oh, so yeah, so we only do a tree like every other year because we're only in town.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Because we're going out of town for a full week.
Right.
Around the Christmas holiday. And I'm not going to go do all those things that you just described that make it sound so phenomenal for like 3 days
magical.
Of tree and then to come home to have it really be dead because we weren't here to water it.
Right.
And then come home after the new year and think, well, now it's done.
Now it's done. And you got to drag it through your house and it's dead. So then it loses all its needles in your living room and on the way out.
Yeah. I also instituted, again, this is the control freak talking, a 5-ornament rule per kid a couple years ago. So like they get their ornament boxes out. They have, you know, gobs and gobs of ornaments and they can pick 5 to put on the tree.
Wow.
And then we're done.
All right, Scrooge. Bah humbug to you too.
But I mean, so we did an ornament project for the kids a couple years, like maybe 4 years ago. Do you remember this?
Maybe. Refresh.
So the older kids, of course, didn't have all the Christmases with us. And so we're one of those families with the tradition where you get an ornament every Christmas. My parents buy ornaments for the kids every Christmas. And so we had older kids who were 12, 14, 15, or whatever, and they didn't have ornaments, mm-hmm. an ornament collection.
Mm-hmm.
So one Christmas, I gathered the village and asked them to backlog the ornament collections for the older kids, and Ty, too, because he had, like, 2 or 3 Christmases he had missed with us.
Right.
So now all the kids have ornaments for all the years.
Uh-huh.
So now that the kids are, like, 19, 19, 16, 12, 11, I missed a 14. I mean, that's a lot of ornaments.
That's a lot of ornaments.
And then I have 30 years of ornaments.
Oh my God. So your parents are still getting you ornaments?
I don't know, maybe not. But I'm also not 30 anymore.
That's true.
So yeah, I mean, we can't have that many ornaments on the tree. They can't all go up.
I mean, I have this friend, Tara, and you should see her tree. Actually, you can't see her tree for all the ornaments on it. But, yes.
I have friends who have multiple trees for that reason.
Well, so we have multiple trees, too. So we inherited a small fake tree that we put in the living room because you can see it out the, like, the big window in the living room. And we put all the kid ornaments, like, all the homemade ornaments on there. And it's nice because you just set it up. It doesn't even have lights on it, but it's easy to put the lights on. And it's the same shape. It's just really convenient. And if you need to hang a heavy ornament, you just bend the thing up, bend the branch, and it supports the ornament.
I think the other thing I have going on is I don't really have a place in my house that naturally says, like, stick a tree here.
Because you live in a house.
So.
And not a tree house. So, you could put it in front of this window. That would be really pretty.
That's where we put it last year for the first time in 10 years. Then you can
see it from the street. Yeah, usually it's over here, right?
Yeah, in the corner.
Yeah.
But that corner normally has, you know, furniture that we use all year round. So when I have to clear a corner out for the tree, it really just disrupts the...
It's supposed to be magical.
It doesn't feel magical.
Me either.
So I'm really relieved that... We're not doing a tree this year.
You and I have that in common. I mean, not the relief that I'm not doing a tree because we have an enormous tree sitting in our living room right now. But, yeah.
But it's also not
wanting to...
making me feel like I don't want to get in the Christmas spirit because there's nothing around me that says this is any different than any other time of year.
See, I've been playing Christmas music for a while. We got an Alexa. Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah. So she plays me Christmas music. So that's been fun. And we have other Christmas decorations that are up. Like, I put the wreaths up outside and the lights outside. You know, and everyone else. Our neighborhood does, like, a really good job of decorating, you know, with lights outside. So every time we take a walk, everything's decorated.
My kids play this game in the car where, while we're driving, they count how many houses with lights they can count. Mm-hmm. So, and anything that's... like seasonal, so it's not up all year round, counts for lights. And if you can see someone's Christmas tree lit up inside their house, that also counts.
Oh,
and
see?
So that's what they're doing now when we drive around all the places, is counting Christmas lights.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. So that's like the one, like, fun holiday thing we have going on. Other than that, I'm a Scrooge.
Well, aren't you, like, Christmas shopping?
Well, the thing is about that, we don't shop for our kids. We don't do Christmas presents for our kids because there's a lot of them and they have a lot of friends and family and we don't need more stuff. Mm-hmm. So we've never really shopped for our kids. But I feel like because we don't shop for our kids, my brain's like, oh, you don't shop for your kids. You don't have to shop.
No Christmas.
No Christmas. And then, like, on December 23rd, I'm like, oh, there's the parents and the siblings and the mother-in-law and the father-in-law and the friends.
Don't forget the mailman.
What? You do? No, we don't do that.
I just put out snacks for him.
And the teachers and the... And oh, by yeah, that time, it's all done because schools, dance, everything's out for the holidays.
Someone arranged a teacher gift, which is great. I just threw $20 at someone. It was awesome. Thanks, Aaron!
That's the problem with, like, homeschool communities is we're all teachers and we're all tired and there's none of that, like, joint teacher gift thing going on.
So that's another reason, another difference between... homeschool and public school are the Christmas gifts.
Yeah, well, and a lot less. And I don't feel like I have to give gifts to all the people at homeschool. Although, I don't know. Some people do, like, make little bags. I don't do that, but other people might feel led. But we're only, like, 20 kids total. So
oh, yeah.
For the whole, like, school.
Yeah, right. Right. Not for the class, but for the entire whole shebang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I could give a gift to myself, a teacher gift to myself.
You should do that. Like a massage. Maybe one massage a month.
I know. So I was just telling you this before we actually started recording that my new favorite thing is Zeal Massage. You need to figure out if it's in your area. Z-E-E-L. A massage therapist will come to your home with a massage table. It's 84 something a month. It includes gratuity. It comes out of your bank account every month and you get a credit for a massage. You can use it that month or you can bank your credits. And it's like having your own personal masseuse. And you can buy more in a month if you want them.
I don't like massages.
And so what I said earlier was, I'm sorry, this will be our last podcast. We can't be friends anymore.
For all our ideological, theological differences, that's the thing. That's the thing that's going to break us.
It is.
The massages.
The massages.
Sarah Frick would be so disappointed.
She's disappointed in you because you don't want a massage.
It tickles. I don't like strangers touching me. Actually, I don't mind strangers touching me. I just don't want, like, I don't know. I don't like the feeling of a massage.
There's, like, nothing more. Like, I would rather have a massage every day than eat. And that's saying a lot because I really love to eat.
There is nothing I would rather do than eat. Not even sleep.
You don't hold sleep in high regard, though. Well, yeah, you do.
No, I do. I love to sleep. I just really love to eat.
So, massage. I mean, I don't consider touch one of my love languages, except that massage piece. I really, really... I mean, I literally think I could probably tackle the world and probably even cook dinner every day if I just had a massage every day. Like, I used to think, when I'm independently wealthy, would I get a massage, like a personal masseuse first, or a personal chef? Because, or like a cleaning lady.
I would absolutely get a maid.
But then I thought, maybe if I had a massage every day, I wouldn't mind cleaning my house.
Nope. That's all I want for Christmas, is a cleaning lady.
Does it ever, like, overwhelm you that, like,
everything
you have to clean for the cleaning lady?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely that I have to, like, pick up everything for the cleaning lady. And then also, for us, I have to leave when she's there because I can't have, like Caroline's, like, in the vacuum, like, unplugging the, and, like, in the cleaning stuff. Like, which is probably a reason I don't clean myself because I can't, like, get away from the kids and just clean.
I think my problem with cleaning is the clutter. I wouldn't mind, like, vacuuming if I didn't have to, like, unearth 3 inches of stuff off the floor. So I really want to become a minimal. Like, I really just want to start throwing things away. I'm like, if our house was totally empty, I would clean it.
I wouldn't.
I probably would. Minimally. I mean, not like those people that, like, love to clean for, like, therapy. Like, you know when people, like, get angry, they clean, or they, like, get...
Well, I rage clean, but that's only because I'm angry about it being dirty. Yeah, like, maybe. I often clean in a rage, but not because I'm angry about something else. It's
directly related.
Directly related. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I basically have to gross myself out, and then I have to look at something and be like, oh, that's so gross. Like, I'm embarrassed with myself about living in my house, and then it gets cleaned.
I have people in my house so often that usually prompts something, that, like, I'm having people over. I guess I should wipe down the sink.
I stopped caring about that kind of stuff. So it used to be really it would hold me accountable when I would invite people over. But it's getting to be that I care less and less, so I'm inviting people over and I'm just like, so sorry.
Here we are.
I hope you don't have to pee.
I mean, I hope you can hold it. I mean, largely, anyone who's been to my house knows this. Like, I don't do special things for when people are coming over. But every once in a while, like when we have house guests, like when Matt's parents came to stay for a few days, like, you know, I scrub some bathrooms.
Maybe next time you could just ask Janet to do it when she gets here.
She's a cleaning lady, too.
Oh. She does do a lot of things for you, though, when she comes.
She does literally everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. So we need to add that to the New Year's resolutions. Get a cleaning lady.
Maybe I should get a job to pay for the cleaning lady.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing, is like work the business enough to reward myself with the cleaning lady so I can. But sometimes I feel like it's an investment. Like if I just get the cleaning lady and have more clear space in my house, then I could.
Well, cleaning lady doesn't create clear space, right? It creates, I don't know, maybe like dust-free space, but not clear. Like you need to create the clear space.
I don't know.
By what you said, like getting rid of.
Well, I feel like what depends on what your priorities are. Like they come and give you 2 hours. If they could give you 2 hours just decluttering, like putting all your stuff away.
No, I want them to scrub toilets.
I did have a bartering situation with a friend last year where I was tutoring her child and she was paying me in cleaning. And literally, like, I was like, I don't care hours, whatever. I really just want my kitchen floor, like, mopped and my bathrooms,
yep.
Like, wiped down.
Kitchen and bathrooms.
She's like, that's it. Like, do you want me to, like, I mean, because the rest of my house is a disaster, and she's a cleaning lady. So she was like, are you sure?
Are you sure I can't help you with something?
And I was like, just the bathrooms and the kitchen. And those places are not so cluttered where, like, I feel like those places people can come in and clean.
Right.
And it's.
We have an awful lot of paperwork in our kitchen.
Right now I do, but I didn't last year. I moved my dining room table into my kitchen. That hasn't helped the paperwork in the kitchen situation. Mm.
It works there, though. I like it there.
Yeah. I like it there, too.
And it makes your dining room huge.
It makes us look like we have a lot of living space.
I mean, you do have a lot of living space.
Yeah. It makes the dining room look huge because that's the way the kids wanted it, so they could VR in it.
Okay, Bob.
I know. we roasted him for his 40th birthday.
I saw that. It was
so fun.
That sounds like
so fun. New Year's resolutions, do you do those?
No.
That seems kind of an ironic question since we're talking about all the things we're not doing.
Yes, add New Year's resolutions to that list. Because I feel like I just set myself up for disappointment. Like, I feel like daily I know, I'm not even going to say that I try to be a better person because I can't, like, log an attempt daily. But, like, I know ways that I could improve. Like, I'm very acutely aware of ways that I can improve. And, like, I don't need to, like, splash something on, you know, social media or, like, make a big deal out of, like, this is a way or these are the ways that I'm going to magically switch overnight from December 31st to January 1st.
It's not magic. I can't do that.
I mean, you can try. Let me know. But I can't. Everybody's different. That's fine.
I'm out.
I'm setting my own self up for failure. And I have far and away enough failure in my life already. I don't need any more. I don't need to create any more for myself.
Did you know the girl who created Spanx thinks of failure as a positive thing?
I think we had this conversation.
Oh, did we? Possibly.
But not on the air.
Yeah, so she, failure to her meant that she had tried something, that she was trying something new. So her father used to ask every night at dinner, what have you failed at? And like being able to answer that was a positive. And basically failure in his eyes was not having a failure to report.
Uh-huh, but then like what came after that?
Well, because once you become a risk taker, because you realize that you don't need to fear failure, then that's where, like, in an entrepreneurial world, that's where you, like...
go bankrupt?
Well, sometimes you have to do that to get successful. Most successful people have been bankrupt.
That's true.
But they see it as a step towards, like, their dream. We see it as, like, a major failure.
Right.
It can't, like, earth-shattering.
Not that it can't be both, right?
Right. I mean, in some ways, it's kind of how we're trying to treat this whole high school grade situation. Like, because I remember being heavily motivated by grades, but in a way that was probably unhealthy. Okay. Like,
let's just be clear that she was valedictorian. So, but heavily motivated, I feel like, is like an understatement.
But I was, like, terrified of not living up to a grade.
You also were like literally the smartest person I know, so that helped.
But terrified of failure. I mean, it doesn't. Well, it's no good to be smart if you're not like willing to use what you do. So
not willing to risk failure,
right? Because then you're just in your glass little bubble with your textbooks. Like, I could have become a eternal student.
You would have been great.
So. Anyway, I don't want that for my kids. And I'm trying to reframe failure for myself as a small business owner and a person who has a failed coffee shop and all these things. So part of reframing that is like, okay, what's really the worst case scenario? Because like when we were in high school, to me, like failing a class or getting a bad grade like meant probably not going to the college that you wanted, which at the time we were kind of groomed that was like that worst case scenario was devastating.
I mean, students still are. I would say even more so that there is no option other than to go to college, which is a whole other discussion.
And so, but I really thought through it and I thought, what's the worst case scenario if you fail out of high school?
Okay, so Melissa Dunn is never going to fail at high school.
Kid's not going to fail completely out of high school, but, like, what if he fails a class? Or what if he comes out with a, you know, 2.8 GPA because that's the amount of effort he was willing to put in as a 14-year-old? First of all, you know,
he's in a public school, and so they'll pass him anyway.
Well, no, yeah, he'll definitely pass.
I mean, he'll graduate.
Yeah, graduate.
With a degree.
But, you know, if he owns this 4 years.
He won't be left behind.
If he owns this 4 years, and the natural consequence of, you know, not turning in multiple English assignments has a natural consequence, but it's one that he won't realize until, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years from now.
But, I mean, there's lots of things that we don't realize as teenagers that as young adults we're like, oh.
Right. But so I have some parents that would say to me,
oh, like, man, mom was right.
Right. So, like, I feel like some parents feel like it's their job to, like, save their kid from that.
Well, I think it's your job to inform your kid about those
right.
risks that they're taking, but then there has to be a, like, a delicate balance of, like, how you allow them to endure the consequences of their, the risks that they're taking.
So at the end of the day, you can go to community college. Like, everyone can go to community college no matter what you did in high school. And then once you finish or get an associate's degree in community college, that becomes the thing that you get into college. And so I feel like you can always redeem the academic situation. And
if that's your path.
If that's even your path.
If that's even your path to go to exactly. higher education, which it's not for everyone. And unfortunately, we make it seem like everyone needs to do that, but it's not for everyone.
Right. Right. So just, like, playing with that freedom of, you know, like, your education, your responsibility. So those are the cards we're playing. Your education, your responsibility. So, but I'm a control freak, recovering control freak. So sometimes I'm really, Melissa. Like, gung-ho about the, like, you know, his battles, his things, and then sometimes I start getting really twitchy.
I mean, but that's your, but you're a parent. I mean, you're his parent, so, like, that's what you're supposed to do.
So.
It's not supposed to be all one or all the other. It's supposed to be a combination of everything, and then as a parent and as a student, you know, you guys, like, figure out your balance of what works, and sometimes you figure it out before it graduates, and sometimes you don't.
I'm going to replay this for you when Lily's in high school.
No, I'm going to be like, take it out of work!
Does she get grades?
I think so. Kind of. She likes remarks or something.
Okay.
It's like A, P, and R or something. It's like something not that's like completely not grades. Right.
Yeah.
But she's fine
for now. She's so much more than fine. She's like PJ, but a girl and 10 years younger.
Yeah.
Not 10 years.
And she really enjoys school, which has always been my priority. And maybe we'll change as they get older. I don't know. But now that Noah's in pre-K and she's in second grade, like, my priority is that they want to go to school, they want to ask questions, they want to be curious about the world around them, and they want to try and figure it out.
Yeah.
Whether it's using their teacher, using their classmates, using their parents, or using each other, you know, to ask questions and figure it out. That's my goal for them.
No, that was my goal too. So that begs the question, if you ever felt like public school was squashing their curiosity, would you do something about it?
I don't know how to answer that, because I think I would need to be in the situation at the time to figure out, like, what to do. I feel like this is a really vague scenario.
Because right? Lily's really, really bright. Like, if she ever gets to a situation where, like, she hates school because, like, she's doing these, like, stupid worksheets and all the other kids are, like, not as bright as she is.
Well, so she, first of all, there are a lot of really bright kids in her class. So that helps, like, that peer, she is not, like, the smartest kid in her grade or, like, whatever, you know, she is with her peers, I mean, you know, peers at her level in her class, you know, in her classes. And another thing is, and she's told me before that, like, she'll finish her worksheet and then she gets to help someone else with their worksheet. Like, that's her, she loves, it's a whole social thing.
Yeah. Or, like, what would happen, like, when she becomes so social, like,
that it hinders her work?
Well, that she doesn't want to do it. You know, like, that's not, like, and she's so bright that she would be like, I don't need that to learn mm-hmm. this subject. And I don't want to come home and do, like, this worksheet because I have, like, places to go, people mm-hmm. to see. And, like, and she sees school as, like, the squelching of her, like, burgeoning social
elite. Well, so it's interesting you say that because at the beginning of the year, because she's her class this year is, like, all her friends from the neighborhood. And so they do the, like, traffic light thing or whatever. And she got a few yellows for being chatty on the carpet with all her friends. Because they're all her, you know, like, of course, naturally. It's like Miss Walton and Miss Ross when we were together. And then it came down to, if you want to sit with your friends, you need to pay attention. Like, you need to shut up and pay attention. Or else you know, you're not going to be able to be with your friends. And that is always, like, the...
motivating.
Oh, okay, factor. then I'll behave. So, and same with her homework. I'd be like, you can't do a play date until you finish your homework. So she gets her packet of homework for the week on Monday. So now she comes home on Monday and does her homework for the week. So that...
That's not you. She gets that from Matt.
Yeah, no, it's not me at all. No, I do it on Thursday night.
Or Friday morning walking to school.
That too.
Yeah, I wonder if she'll ever, like, just eventually, like, resent that, even that part, though. Like, ugh, like, this homework, like, it's getting in my way.
Yeah, but I feel like even, I don't, that's, that definitely happens to, like, high-achieving kids, but I feel like that could happen to any kid, really, right? Depending on your attitude towards school. And that goes back to the, I want them to love learning. Like, right. I want her to love learning or and like, be curious and, like...
If the or if Common Core is moving too fast and, like, Caroline couldn't keep up, and so then she felt like she hated education because everyone was moving faster than her.
Well, then there'd be... Well, right. Well, then if she felt like she was behind and she wasn't understanding, she wasn't learning, again, it goes back to that my goal in education is to keep them curious and keep them interested in learning and asking questions and looking for answers. And so if she's so frustrated with whatever, whether it's the work or the homework or the structure or the testing or like whatever it is, I would want to address the situation so that she would come home from school wanting to learn, curious and wanting to learn.
We're going to update this in like 4 years just for kicks.
Just to see.
No, I mean, I get it. It's good. All right. So I'm trying to be the podcaster with cool wrap-up questions because mm-hmm. that's what all the cool people are doing.
I'm so cool.
So I Look have been asking. I know. I noticed that. Your fashion is so much better than mine.
Whatever. You're adorable. I just ordered the socks like that from DSW.
These are probably from, like, high school. It's all coming back, though.
My
clothes hoarding thing is working out for me.
If I wore the same size I was in high school, I'd be set.
It's a true story.
I don't. Spoiler alert, I don't. But keep going.
So, one is, what is a story that you've heard recently that is changing your life or your perspective? But you weren't really, like, a story guest, so that one might be optional. The other one is, what life hack would you like to pass on to the audience?
Christmas stockings.
Christmas stockings are a hack?
With young kids. Hold on. I'm still getting my thoughts together. It's getting late. I put sugary cereal in my kids' Christmas stockings instead of candy. Because they're going to be eating it at 5 a.m. Oh, and there's pouches. The applesauce pouches. The, like, the fruit pureed fruit pouches. Because they're going to be eating it, you know, like, at an ungodly hour of the morning. And then, so they might as well have had breakfast. And we never buy that cereal anyway. So, to them, it might as well be a candy bar.
So this will only work for those health-conscious moms that are a control freaks about food like you. So that their kids will look at sugary cereal and applesauce pouches like candy. I also don't know when this is going to air, so now it might have to air before Christmas.
Oh, crud. I mean, it's always before Christmas, right? Because there's always another Christmas.
Right.
To come. It also works in Easter baskets.
Easter baskets.
Easter baskets. I do the same thing in Easter baskets.
I used to do that with Cookie Crunch, whatever the cereal is that looks like chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, Cookie Crisp.
Yeah. I used to do that when PJ was really little and try to pawn it off like cookies because I figured they look like cookies, but at least they were like fortified.
Yeah, right. At least they're sprayed with vitamins.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I feel about Lucky Charms. Like, sure, you're eating marshmallows for breakfast, but at least they're sprayed with vitamins.
Do you know what Lucky Charms is one of the least sugary cereals you can get?
It is because the grain parts, the parts that aren't marshmallows, really don't, they have sugar on them, but they don't have a lot of sugar in them.
Yeah, and there was some kind of legislation that like, cereal like that was marketed to kids needed mm-hmm. to have less sugar. And it has less sugar than Honey...
Bunches of Oats?
Or Honey Nut Cheerios. It has less sugar than granola.
Oh my gosh, everything has less sugar than granola. Granola is... I mean, you might as well have a donut.
Yeah,
I mean, a whole grain donut, because there are whole grains everyone always in granola. So that's good. The fiber and the protein granola is good, but there is so much sugar in commercial granola.
Yeah. So I think people always rag on, like, Lucky Charms because of the marshmallows. And they have such a bad rap, but it's like 9 grams of sugar in a serving, which is, like, nothing. I mean, it's a lot, but compared.
Kix has 3 grams.
Kix is disgusting.
Kix is not disgusting. I love Kix. I feed my kids Kix.
I feel like it's stale out of the box, like fresh out of the box.
Okay. You love massages. I love Kix. We'll just agree to disagree.
Okay, friends. So now you know the anatomy of a really, really diverse friendship. This is how we do it. You stay on your side. I'll stay on mine. And we'll still love each other.
I love how the fact that I don't believe in God, like, never was a problem, but now
this is serious stuff.
This affects daily life.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't have the church conversation that we were, like, having before we recorded. We're going to have to do this again.
I know. We say that every time.
I know. And we should really start recording the second you walk in the door.
No. Well, last time we had that whole hour-long conversation about take a knee, about the NFL.
After we turned off the microphone.
After we turned off the microphone. And that was a really good conversation.
You guys, maybe we should just walk around with mics on all the time.
Because Black Lives Matter.
So I recently had a podcast guest on who travels. She's called The Traveling Fro. And on her Instagram, she has a picture of her wearing a shirt that says Black Hair Matters.
That's awesome. And
yeah, I really like it a lot. Anyway, well, thanks for coming back. We're gonna have to do it more often. You're everyone's favoriteest guest.
By everyone, you mean Debbie.
The one listener I know for sure is listening. But I love her a lot. She's a very high value follower and listener, and so
I love her too. So, and I hold her opinion in high regard. So,
yeah. So
that's something. Plus, we name dropped a lot of people in this episode. So maybe.
So when we share it on Facebook, we'll have to tag them all.
Maybe they'll start listening too.
All right.
I love you.
Love you too.
I have to drive home in the. It's so dark. It's so dark by your house.
Well, it is.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Season's greetings. Whatever we say.
Happy New Year. This will probably happen, like, after January.
Happy New Year. I have 6 different Christmas card designs in my cart right now. I can't decide.
That's the other thing I'm not doing. Christmas cards.
Well, I'm failing at them, too, because I haven't ordered them yet, so.
Maybe they'll be Happy New Year cards.
Hooray. I mean, a few of them say season's greetings. I mean, that could be any season. There's 4 seasons in a year, right?
Mail them out this spring.
It's a picture of the kids on the beach.
Summer,
right?
All right. Well,
good night.
Night, all.
Love you.
Guys, great news. Benny was found fat and happy a couple days after we recorded, so no sad story there. Also, if an at-home massage sounds like the best Christmas gift ever, I have more great news. If you go to zeel.com, Z-E-E-L, and use the promo code PVOG, as in Papa Victor Oscar Golf, at the checkout screen, you'll get $25 off your first 60-minute massage. That's under $65 for a masseuse to come to you, and it includes gratuity. I live in the middle of nowhere, and they service my area, so I'm pretty sure they're in your area wherever you happen to be. In full disclosure, I do get account credit for every person who uses that code, but seriously, even if I didn't, I would still be telling you about this because it is literally revolutionizing my life right now. It means I can put my youngest in front of a screen at home while I get 60 minutes of heavenly bliss instead of finding a babysitter. There's really no way to go wrong. So you're all getting massages except Trisha, but what are you not doing? That new Instagram feed I mentioned during the show is @mommyslacker, and you can contribute to that feed by tagging that account and using the hashtag mommyslacker. So please contribute so I can feel like I'm not the only one slacking.
Also, if you want to reach out with feedback, good or bad, about the show, you can find me on my personal Instagram and Twitter and Facebook at M.A. Corkum. The hashtag for the show is #TheUncorkedPodcast. Rating and reviews on your favorite podcast app also help more people join in our fun. If you need a quick reminder for any of these links, you can always find them on the show notes page at www.thecorkums.com. I'm also going to put a link to the Shrek show Trisha is currently rehearsing for in case you're local and want to come see her. She's amazing. Well, that about wraps it up. I so appreciate you guys. Merry Christmas, happy all the other holidays coming up, and see you next year.